The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And this one, we are leaving wine, but we're talking to someone that is very much connected to the wine world, Peck Rosehall Run. But now Lynn Sullivan is the marketing director with Drink Ontario Apples, all about Ontario cider. And she joins us now. Lynn, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Hi, Matt. It's a real pleasure to speak with you again.
It's been a while, and let's just jump here. I'd love to hear about going from Ontario wine to Ontario apples, from being the GM of Rosehall Run Winery, helping to make great Pinot and Chardonnay, to now being marketing director for Drinking Ontario Apples.
Well, it's a bit of a journey, as you can imagine. It's a bit of a long journey, but I'll try to make it brief. Very pleased to be one of the original winery owners in Prince Edward County with my partner, Dan Sullivan. We started the winery in 2000, and as you know, Rosehall Run is still very much a successful Pinot Noir and Chardonnay producer, and I'm very proud of the winery. It's almost like our third child. But as you also know, I'm sure, because I've heard many of your interviews with winery owners, that winery owners and small businesses in general, it's a tough slog. It's a 24-hour a day. It's a lot. And after 20 years, I actually had a bit of a family emergency that took me away for a little bit. And I was happy to see that Rosehall Run was in good hands from a general manager point of view with JJ Sire, and also with, of course, Dan and with Lee Baker, our new winemaker as well. So just hoping that they can continue to carry on. And I'm still very much interested in the success, of course. On a personal note, so Dan and I divorced 10 years into Rosehall Run, and we managed to successfully co-run and co-manage Rosehall Run. But by last year, 2023, I had started dating a different fellow, and he lives on the opposite side of wine country land, so in the Niagara region. So two things. It was an opportunity for me to be with my new partner, and an opportunity for me to kind of, to be honest, have a more 9-to-5 job.
Working in wine, it's no 9-to-5. It's not Monday to Friday. It's all consuming. And not that you're not going to be busy now with your current job, but the wine side is almost the top 1% of just crazy hour sort of job. What is it? What is your 9-to-5 now with Drink Ontario Apples?
Yeah. And I also, you know, for me personally, for my journey in Prince Edward County and Rosehall Run, as you know, I'm not a winemaker and I'm not a sommelier. And my passions were on the marketing side and on the tourism development side. So
right.
Very heavily participated in the development of Prince Edward County as a tourism destination. I sat on the Economic Development Commission of PEC. I even headed the tourism organization for 6 months. I was chair of the Prince Edward County Winemakers Association. So very much concerned with the marketing and tourism development. And then, of course, when you're a small business, you have no money for marketing. That's the kind of, you know, you have many ideas, not a lot of your budget is left over for marketing, and you have to be really creative with the marketing side. So what happened with the Ontario Craft Cider Association is, first of all, again, back to PEC, working and living with people like Jen and Grant House and Jen Dean at County Cider, Sarah Boyd at Lockmore Cider, I started to develop a a deep appreciation for cider and realized that it too is a craft and takes as much intention and as much of the trials and tribulations as winemaking does. So the opportunity came for me to be the marketing director for a new fund that was allotted by the Ontario government to promote Ontario craft ciders. So that came into effect last fall, and it's a multi-million dollar fund. The purpose of it is to promote Ontario's craft cider producers and the ciders that are being produced from 100% Ontario grown apples.
It's kind of similar with what the VQA is to Ontario wine. This is to Ontario apples and cider.
Yes, very similar. Yeah, very similar. We do not yet have a what is being kind of tossed around as a CQA. I think it may be coming, but that is something that is not in the works yet. But the Drink Ontario Apples logo does indicate that all of the cider in your can or bottle is produced from either 100% Ontario grown apples or 85% Ontario grown apples and another flavoring such as cherries or blueberries or something like that.
No different than a Bordeaux blend that would have Merlot and Cab Franc and the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, heritage variety apples are really, really interesting. Listeners might be interested to know that cider makers do not typically use grocery store apples to produce ciders. They grow a wide variety of apples. I believe there are 2,500 different apple varieties in Ontario, and they are heritage. Some of them are heritage varietals, and they have really cool names like Bulmer's Norman, Ellis Bitter, Purple Passion, Dabinette, and they're wild and funky, and they're not anything like what you've seen in the grocery store. Some of them are incredibly bitter and add tannins to cider. Some of them are really red in color in the flesh that add color. So yeah, all interesting heritage apples that they are working with. Also similar to wine, they can reflect the terroir of where they're grown.
And that's sort of where, it's funny, that's where, Lynn, I wanted to get to next. People that are getting into wine wouldn't know that, say, Pinot Noir in Prince Edward County is going to taste different than in St. David's Appellation in Niagara. And then you learn it and you go, oh, okay, there are these fundamental differences because of, you know, geography, climate, and all that. And is it fair to say the same can exactly be said about ciders from apples sourced from all different parts of Ontario?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it depends on what level you want to engage, right? Similar to wine, right?
Yeah.
Like for us at Drink Ontario Apples, we're starting with the message that, you know, we're taking people back a step in that we want to tell people that A, not all apple cider is sweet. That's the first thing, because I think that people think that apple cider is like that jug that your mom brought home from the farmer's market and that stayed in the fridge for 6 months and nobody touched it. Or they think of a Strongbow that has been imported and mass produced with tons of sugar and made from juice, not from concentrate. And it's just not the same as a real craft cider. So we want people to know that ciders can be dry, they can be semi-dry, they can be made with hops sometimes. They can be anywhere on that scale from dry to sweetness, and they reflect the cider maker as well. Reflecting the terroir is another step. Most ciders are not single varietal ciders.
Right.
Most of them take a blend of what they desire and produce the cider in that quantity. But there are some producers like Lochmore Cider that are producing single variety ciders. And that's where you're going to get more of the terroir reflected.
Oh, that's interesting. So I guess for the ciders, it's a little bit more producer driven, but there is some single vineyard ones I'd be curious to try. Getting to the flavor profile, I had cider every now and then, not very often. And I've now tried a couple and been really impressed. I had the Pommies Dry Cider Farmhouse, a little bit bigger in the mid palate than I was expecting. And it was dry, but there was some sweetness to it as well. I had the Taz one last night. And I have to say, Lynn, just dipping my toe back into the cider world, because it's just been a while, I was certainly impressed. It not only was it not overly sweet, but it wasn't like some really tart, acidic attack of the palate as well. It was actually just a really pleasing drink, especially this last week in Ontario with all the warm weather.
And I think that it's kind of interesting because we can kind of appeal to, for me personally, I like beer a lot. And so for me personally, it kind of went from the sour beers, the sour fruit beers, which was just like a short leap over to the ciders, which are really, really refreshing. They're also, most are gluten-free, which beer is not because it's made with grains. So that was something. And then for the wine lovers, there's the complexity and there's the kind of personality that goes in from the cider maker, more so with the hard to find bottle producers. And so if they visit the cideries, some of the smaller producers, they'll find the stuff that's not in the LCBO. So it's almost like there's a little bit of a snobbiness, right? Like there's the cider in bottles and then the cider that's in cans, but both have an audience and both are, you know, available for you to explore and try.
I love the idea because, you know how it is in wine. There'll be people that would look down on screw cap. It has to be cork. That same sort of battles. It doesn't matter. It's going to be in wine or beer or in cider as well.
Yeah. I actually, part of my onboarding was a trip to New York's Hudson Valley last fall. Their cider industry is incredible. It's really robust alongside the Finger Lakes wine. It's a very symbiotic union between the wineries, the winemakers and the cider makers and the growers and producers and people going on tours. They stop at both and they really appreciate the similarities between the winemakers and the cider makers. It's a really thriving industry in New York State, and that's certainly something that we look to as inspiration.
Speaking of Canada and the United States, I imagine the same way we see with local wines at the LCBO, it certainly must be helping the Ontario cider industry with it being 100% Ontario apples, just with tariffs and with, you know, just everything going on politically, where we've seen a growth in nationalistic consumption and buying local.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the increase in our challenge in the LCBO is it's for people to be able to identify the Ontario craft cider from other ciders. I know that the VQA people have fought long and hard to have a VQA Ontario section in the LCBO. We are also fighting to have an Ontario craft cider section, which they are rolling out, and it is happening. But as you know, with the LCBO, these things take time. Yeah, it's sometimes difficult for consumers to understand the difference between an Ontario craft cider, a mass-produced cider that's imported.
By the way, to anyone listening, if you can find the mass-produced and then find more of the, you know, the craft stuff, you will absolutely be able to tell the difference. What is the state right now of the apple cider industry, where, you know, the trends, forecasts in the Ontario market?
There are close to 100 producers of Ontario craft cider. Some of them, as you know, are wineries that have a cidery brand. Some of them are breweries that have a cider brand. So it's an interesting mix. Some of them are small family owned, you know, very small family owned orchards producing one or two brands. And some of them are a bit larger, but we define craft cider as having a limit of the number of liters of cider produced. And definitely it's growing. There's no question that it's growing. Different people will tell you different numbers, but it's definitely on the rise. I'm proud to report.
I was looking on the website, and people can go to drinkonapples.com, Drink Ontario Apples, but it's just drinkonapples.com is the website. The Craft Cider Trail. And it definitely amazed me just how many producers all across all of Ontario, because with wine, it's got to be more specific because of temperature. But I'm wondering, how extensive is that trail?
So it's, as I said, we do have close to 100 producers across Ontario. Not all of them are on the cider trail, but we're working to get all of them on the cider trail. The digital cider trail was just introduced this spring. So it's still in, you know, so we're still adding more cideries. The great thing about craft cider, and I would say orchards and apple production in general, is that it spreads across southern Ontario. There aren't that many in northern Ontario. We always tend to forget about poor northern Ontario. But proximity to the Great Lakes is key, as is growing any type of fruit. And so since we have so many locations that are close to the Great Lakes, we've got Georgian Bay, we've got Lake Erie, we've got Lake Ontario. So there are many graft cideries across Ontario. And what the Craft Cider Trail does is it divides the craft cideries of Ontario into kind of biteable craft cider trails. So you can explore one trail at a time. So for example, Prince Edward County would be one. Lambton Shores up near Grand Bend would be another. Blue Mountains would be a third. Niagara, obviously. So we've divided them up into cider trails that you can explore in a day or two.
My God, that must be so popular right now. We're getting to fall and fall foliage, and everyone goes nuts for when the leaves turn orange. I get a little sad because it means summer's coming to an end, but it does look gorgeous. But I imagine like those trails must be even busier right now, and probably for the next month, I would imagine.
A lot of activity, and again, a lot of different activities. So, you know, when I did explore New York and Hudson Valley, that was this time of year last year. A lot of the cider producers really gain a lot of their customers from the pick your own experience. So there is the pick your own experience that a lot of apple orchards offer. So there are kind of family activities like wagon rides and corn mazes and those types of activities, right up to very adult activities. At Ironwood Cider in Niagara, they have a beautiful art gallery. At Lochmore Cider, you can do a cider pairing with different types of chocolate. So there's all different kinds of activities. A lot of the cideries will have new releases this time of year, live entertainment. Yeah, lots of different things to explore.
Well, I want to talk about what's coming up, because often when I do an interview, it's usually shelved for about 3 weeks, but this is Tuesday, September 16th. Where we're taping this, I'm going to release it tomorrow, but Craft Cider Week is coming up. I was wondering if you could tell the listeners, and you know, this is for people in Ontario, but if you're listening outside of Ontario, you can catch a flight here. Direct flights to Toronto, quite easy. Try to go to Porter and not Pearson. Pearson's a pain in the ass. Anyway, that's way off topic. Just what Craft Cider Week, what it's all about.
Yeah, so Craft Cider Week is an opportunity for each cidery to shine in their own way. So there'll be lots of different activities. You can find a full list at drinkontarioapples.com. So you can look there, but some of the examples will be orchard tours. where you can learn about the different types of apples that are used to produce cider, local food pop-ups, live entertainment, as I mentioned, and the pick your own and family experiences for sure. So those are some of the activities that you can participate in for Ontario Craft Cider Week.
Yeah,
and mostly, honestly, we just want you to go to, you know, the grocery store or your local cidery or the LCBO and just pick up a can of Ontario Craft Cider. If you can't identify it, ask your LCBO store rep. They should be able to help you. And just try a few different ones and go for it, because you'll understand that they're not the ciders that you used to drink.
Agreed. As I said, I've had a different one the last couple nights, just sitting on my balcony after work, just enjoying the sun. And it's, been really, really enjoyable. And it's, for me, what I was happy about interviewing you was just, I love just peeking around the corner of something different. And the Ontario cider industry is definitely a world I didn't know as much about before doing the research before this interview. So, and that, Lynn, I really appreciate. And also, we won't talk about it because it's personal, but good for you for being able to work with Dan and be able to work at Rose Hall Run. Listen, getting a divorce can be incredibly tough, and you guys managed to make it work. You know, you made great Pinot and Chard. Don't think I was going to skip over that, Lynn. Good job by you.
Well, you know what? He's an amazing winemaker, and he's an amazing partner. And like I said, we have two beautiful children, and the third one is Rose Hall Run, and yep. I'm proud of all three of them.
No, I've met your kids. I've drank your JCR, and I'm excited to continue to learn more and try more of the different Ontario craft ciders. I got a bunch more to try out. And again, drinkonapples.com. I'm assuming if you typed in drinkontarioapples.com, Google will take you to the right website anyway.
Absolutely. And I appreciate your time, and go Jays, go.
Yes. And Lynn, just one other thing. Congratulations to you. And I wish you nothing but success jumping from one industry to the other, though there are many similarities. There certainly are a lot of differences. So wishing you nothing but the best for you and for the Ontario cider industry.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Apple, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.